Hey everyone, it's Isabel Harrison from the Dallas Wings, and I'm getting unguarded with Wevolve.
You know, jumping off the convo with AU Hoops, like, tell me about it, because the buzz was way better than I expected.
I know.
Because, you know, there's a volleyball league and there's what? Soccer?
Lacrosse.
Lacrosse. So a lot of people didn't even know that until...
No, not lacrosse. I'm sorry. Softball. Why did I say lacrosse?
Softball.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know, my husband, for instance, he was like, AU Hoops has volleyball? I was like, yes, basketball just joined it. So, you know, tell us about that and how was it?
AU was so fun. I feel like the purpose of it and what makes it so nice is it's player-led. So I'm sure both of y'all know with hooping, everything most of the time is going to go through the coach. Mm-hmm. And if you do have some type of opinion or whatever, you got to be like upperclassmen, that type of thing. That wasn't the case. Everybody, for the most part, had a voice and they kind of got to direct their own game, which I appreciate because I feel like a lot of the times coaches can put players in bubbles. And when you're in that bubble, it's hard to feel like you can do more. And that wasn't the case at AU. Everybody got to play their game and play free. But for me, I think it was good because I'm a vet now. I'm my fourth year at Dallas. And it put me in a position to be a coach. And I know I'm in a situation now where our team is getting a little bit older, but we're keeping the same core group together. But we just need that veteran leadership that Dallas has kind of been missing for a few years. And AU put me in a position to direct the whole thing. Like, I was a captain for 4 weeks in a row. So the first time, y'all was so nervous. Like, I didn't know. I know how practices go, but like behind the scenes, right? Like, I watched a few games, but as a coach, you really have to do scouting. You have to know what plays they're usually going to run, what players they have. It's like a whole deal on top of organizing practices, game day routines, like just everything. I literally had to do everything. And I honestly think just increased my not only IQ, but my mental part of basketball. It's just improved so much. I see the game totally different now because of AU.
That's what's up. I mean, were there some things that you kind of thought coaches don't understand, that it opened your eyes to like what they do have to deal with, like far as, okay, you know, as players or anything in life? I think when you haven't gone through it, you kind of don't have that empathy for another person or whatever they're doing in their shoes, whether it be a coach or someone, leaders in certain situations. Like, was there something that kind of opened your eyes? Like, dang, I took this part for granted, but now I see what coaches have to kind of go through. Was there any elements of it that you kind of were like, oh, okay, now I get it?
Yeah. Honestly, I always knew coaches had a tough job. Like, my dad's a coach, most of my siblings got into coaching, and now like my friends coach at universities. But like the scout part, you know how coaches would be mad about like not following the scout, and I'll be like, whatever, you're tripping. No, that scout, the amount of hours that I put into that, and like how much free time I was giving up. Because mind you, we were in Vegas, so like there was festivities to be had, and I didn't get to do much because if I wasn't at the gym, if I wasn't at practice, I was in my room watching games and making a scout. I did that 3 times a week. Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday. So for 4 weeks, I did. Yeah, it was crazy. So the appreciation of it, yeah, it grew even more because I had a basis understanding. But the amount of hours, I think I just have a new appreciation for it because it really is like an all day thing on top of what I had to do. It wasn't just like I just got to coach and like be done for the day. Like, no, I still needed to work out because I'm playing at the same time too.
Mm-hmm.
And just do a whole lot of scout. So yeah, the amount of hours that went into it was a lot.
And every week, you had to pick your roster, right? Well, because you were a captain.
Exactly.
Every time you had to pick your roster. So how was that? Because, you know, you develop relationships with certain people and it's like, you know, like the playground type pick. Yeah, I don't know if I really want you on my team.
Exactly.
Girl, but
yeah.
You know, so how was that?
Honestly, Girl, it was stressful, but it was also the best part of being a captain. Like, if I could be a GM one day, I would absolutely do it because my teams were legit. Like, the pieces that I had, and even like down to like the bench, like people that were able to come in and like just fill a hole for a little bit, you know. And even when they got into the game, they really shined, and it was just like, I didn't have to do no coaching. And I think that started on Sunday. But yes, people were having their little duos. And my duo, if I had a chance to always pick, it was going to be Courtney Williams. I played with her for years, you know, and I know what she brings, and like her will to win was perfect. And I'm the same way, but now I'm coaching. So I'm like, I need somebody that supports me in that aspect. And we always play really good together. So she was somebody that I made sure I picked. I got to pick every Sunday. Had to.
Right. Shoot. Because, you know, I knew a couple of people playing and everybody had mixed reviews about it. Like, but everybody ultimately loved the experience. Yeah. You know, some people didn't get to play because they weren't known. And I'm like, well, it's political, you know. Yeah. They're going to go with who they know as far as playing time. But
on that too, because I got the notion, like, people started saying around the league, if you play for Team Harrison, you're going to play. And that made me happy because it really made me happy because I would see people say, like, okay, it's starting to become a WNBA league. When it's also like, there's two parts to that. One, this is the first year. And I never wanted it to be that way because also I'm going into another season. So I don't want to kill myself trying to do this. But it's like, this is the first year of it. We have a whole lot of eyes on us. We want to make sure we put out a good product. Not to say that they want you to do that. But when it came down to winning, just like a coach, you're going to put people in to make sure you get those wins. Because not only is it we're getting viewed in this light, but people are getting paid off of this, off of the point. You know what I mean? So I don't want to. I had to catch myself a couple times. It's like, dang, so-and-so hasn't played in a couple minutes, but it's like, people are getting paid off of this. Like, came back overseas for this opportunity. I'm not going to play around people's pockets, you know?
Right.
And that was kind of hard too, because it's like, when you're done coaching, you still have to be around these people. So like, you might have caused some shade, you know? Honestly, I didn't have any problem with that with anybody, because I let anybody know on my team, if you see something on the court, just let me know and we'll go from there. I'm never going to be the one like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not even my personality. So yeah, I think everybody that was on my team enjoyed their experience.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's time to win, it's human nature, which you're used to. Like, you play with Courtney, so you know what she's capable of. You've seen her win games, and so you have that experience, and that's with anybody and any coach. That's why you see coaches, again, no matter where they are, if someone's helped them win, they feel comfortable sticking with them because they've seen them do it. Compared to someone else, you gotta take a chance. And so I mean, that's how it goes. Were there some surprises? I heard there was one girl in AU who was a surprise. And I think she got a contract training camp or something for the league. I forgot what her name was. Some girl that she was like killing in AU and, you know, made a name for herself, which was a good story because it's like, okay, it's not just, as people say, a WNBA league. It's something that can be like a real legit G league for women. But I thought she was a guard. I don't know if you remember the name that came up low.
There was a few girls. There was Taja Cole. She got a training camp contract to Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Manis. She got a training camp contract to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny Walker.
I would definitely be down to go sit that bench and clap and be like, Jory, you can't get in the game. We need this one to go. Just to be in the atmosphere, definitely down to do it. But like, do I still have that motivation to be like, I'm going to go to AU so people can see me, what I'm about? I don't think I have that motivation no more. So that's why I wouldn't really do it, because I don't want to take a spot for somebody that's still trying to be seen and trying to, you know, really be like, no, I can do this, because I don't have that passion no more. So, but if they need a spot and, you know, good talent is overseas, can't get out of a contract and they don't, you know, I'm still better than the options that are still home, I definitely go. I mean, I definitely love to help with the coaching part too and all that. I would more so want to be with the underdog team though. Definitely. I would want to be with the team that, you know, got some of them, the overseas, not known, the unknown players. Yeah. Because that's fun. I think it's going to get there, though, because I would be excited to see those battles. You know, some of those unknown players that come and be like, yo, where they came from, you know, that's when, you know, because you need those battles. That's what they say is different than the league, the WNBA and the NBA. You know, you got those battles, whereas the WNBA is more like a sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the league, the NBA, they got those, they still a brotherhood, but they have those battles. And I think it'll be fun for the women's game to kind of bring those type of battles out into light. But I don't know. You trying to do AU, Lo?
Man, I've been having mixed emotions about it. Look, Izzy was like, you need to fly home so you could come. I'm like, damn. You know, I want to.
Yeah.
But for me, it would just be difficult for me, I feel like, because I got three kids. The season is 6 weeks, and I'm not bringing my kids to Vegas. That heat is different.
And it wasn't even that bad. That's the crazy.
Well, at this time of year, I imagine it's not that bad, but then I'm not trying to be in the hotel because y'all stay in the hotel rooms, right?
Yes, we did. Which, you can continue.
The three kids?
Yes. I will say that is difficult. I think the person that had the most kids, her name is TK. She's actually from Dallas and she had two kids. But when I say, okay, so the bubble that we did 2 years ago, we had parents come and bring whatever, their kids. And the stuff that they had them doing, it was nice, it was cute. But when I tell you like the interactive stuff that they had the kids doing and like all the moms hanging out, like, even like on the media side, like making sure their kids were shown during the game, they would sometimes interview them and stuff. And I'm like, not only did it make me want to be a mom and have a kid like now, but it was just like, they just cared about everybody. Like, yeah. I know we talk about like people were upset that they were kind of calling it a WNBA league, but in the W, they only represent a few amount of people and we see them all the time. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to the same person who haven't played in a while, like the same people all over that league felt the same way, like the representation in the W, it needs to change a little bit because it's been the same stories and the same narrative for like so long. But in AU, I'm telling you, everybody got to tell their story. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was happy about, because you got to play for a cause that you were passionate about or you were somehow connected to. And it wasn't just about who was scoring crazy points. Like, you could go crazy and still lose. And it's just like, you're not going to get rewarded for that. You get rewarded for playing hard, playing together. And then your story, like, you are actually playing for something. And I think that's what basketball is about. Like, it's gotten so political to the point where it's like, some people don't even want to mess with it anymore. And it's unfortunate because it's like, that's their dream. You know, they've been through so much mess just to try to play basketball. And I feel like AU just kind of made it fun again. You know,
that's why I would play, because of the community. It looked fun and the wide range of talent, you know, because there were some girls I played against overseas in the league, in the AU league. And I'm just like, dag, you know, this is a great opportunity for you. But then it's just like big names, you know, like you, Courtney Williams, and people who haven't played in a while. So mm-hmm. For the experience, yeah, I would play, but yeah, I would have a lot to consider.
For sure. Yeah. I know. Two kids ain't easy, girl. But you know, I would have been there, so I would have been 10. So.
Right. Yeah. It seemed like y'all was having fun, though. It did. It was a totally different vibe compared to the W. But I think that's just with the rules. And again, like you say, being player-led. Yeah. I think everything, the whole vibe of the league was different, and it seemed fun. It was short. So I think it was a success. I think it's a great opportunity for y'all to stay home, for those of you that are in the W. And then it opens up a new door for the people that do still play overseas to now have an option. Like, if you stay home, you could do this, then go finish the season. Yeah. You know, now some South American leagues, I guess, are trying to get better. So, you know, now there's more options for women to kind of move around and do things. So I think it was a good move. And then, you know, KD behind it, 35 Ventures, one of the investors. So I think it's people that are behind it that really want it to be something, mm-hmm. have longevity behind it, not just something that's like one off. So,
yeah, I definitely think it's going to be a league that's going to be around for a while. And I know the first year of anything, you figure out kinks. Mm-hmm. But again, with it being player led, we gave so much input into what we would want to change for next year. And now I think now that people know how it's set up and you can watch the games and just like the content of everything, I think we're going to get even more people to sign up and wanting to be a part of it next year.
For sure. So you're going to play another season?
Let me not go on record and say that. But girl, I would like to, but there may be some complications coming up in the future that may not allow that. I wish I could elaborate on it, but I truly enjoyed AU, and if I can be a part of it again, I would love to.
So my next question for you is, are you done playing overseas?
Never say never. But low, it's looking real neverish right now.
You look real comfortable.
I'm comfortable and I'm happy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even what you just saying, like y'all saying earlier, like it's 10:30, you know, and like I still have most of my day left. I just got back from seeing my parents this weekend, like just because, I mean, my mom, she was going through some stuff, but the ability to go and see her in my free time, I just never had that time because I was always gone. Like I mm-hmm. just was away. And I think what really like cemented it for me was my little brother got married last year and I missed it because of basketball. Like my little brother, my baby brother. And I'm like, I can't keep living like this. I missed so many memories. And to see, like, when you're younger, it's like the old, I'm one of 12. So they had stuff going on when it's like, okay, I'm kind of getting established. But when my little brother and I started missing his things, and then my little sister, I said, no, I can't keep doing this, because you get paid well overseas. Yeah, but it comes to a point where it's like, how much are you willing to like sacrifice or put the money over memories? Like you can never buy those or get those back. And I think that kind of made the decision for me. And I'm not going to say like it wasn't scary. I was super scared when I had to tell my agent, like, I don't want to go overseas. Like that's not what I want to do, because I've been doing it for so long. But when I said it, I intentionally made sure I focused on my brand. And at the time I heard about AU, I made this decision. Honestly, I made a decision not to go back overseas when I left overseas. Girl, I knew in April, okay? But I was like, let me sit on it. Let me go through a season and mm-hmm. see how I feel after the season. Still had the same feeling. And I told my agent about it. And I said, I'm going to be intentional with my branding. I'm going to make sure I see my family as much as I can, which I have been doing. And just resting. Like, I feel like I've gotten in this mindset of just, I have to go grind, you know, I feel like college does that to you, but I'm at the point in my career, I feel like I established myself. I feel like everything I can overseas, and I'm looking forward to building my life back at the States, and I haven't done that in years. So I'm happy. And if I have to go back overseas for, I don't know, whatever, I would, but I would not do a full season. And yeah, it would have to be a lot of stipulations for me to go.
You done turned into a playoffs only player.
Mm-hmm. I'm at that point.
I come for playoffs, but you need to pay me right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it just when it comes to overseas, is it just the distance, family time, or, you know, just everything around overseas? We know the inefficiencies and stuff. Is that mostly like the thing that, like, say if overseas was just as professional as the W, would it still be kind of like, I don't know? Or is it really just the distance away from family, not being able to get up and connect with those you're closest to?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part, not being able to just like the convenience of it. And I also will say, the year before I went to Ragusa, I was in Bologna. And after that season, I was like, I would sign back here again. But then COVID happened. And then after that, I went back overseas in two different Italys, two different seasons. And I said, because they take it way serious than we do in the States, right? So they're like shutting stuff down. You can't go to restaurants. I'm just like, if I'm going to miss out on X, Y, and Z, like I need to make sure I have an experience and I can see things. And that just was not the case last year. And it just kind of got to a point where the pros were outweighing the cons. But it's basically what you said, like just not being able to like get up and go and see my family, or the communication piece too. I don't know if y'all like experienced this, but overseas, I got used to like not communicating because I was by myself all the time. Like I would just find myself going through the motions and I would look up and I'd be like, dang, I'm really missing out on a lot, but I'm just the time change. Like you said, the distance, everything was just like too much. So I'm slowly getting back in the habit of like relationships. I don't know. It's really weird, like to try to put it into context, but I just got so used to just being by myself, you know? And now my family, they said a lot of times when they would miss me, they were like, we know you're busy, you know? And it's just like, I don't want that no more. Like, I want y'all to be able to hit me up and whatever, but it does put you in a space of just like being by yourself. I don't know. And I didn't like that feeling. So
it is lonely overseas.
Yeah.
And the time difference. I know the time difference for you probably makes a difference because, you know, your family, Tennessee is what, 6 hours?
Seven. Behind.
So yeah, like you got to wait for everybody to wake up. You got to go to bed or go to practice when people waking up, and it's just like, I gotta call you back.
Yeah, it's terrible. And like, I don't know, but when y'all woke up, y'all saw the Will Smith thing
right away.
It's crazy. Like moments like that, you will wake up and be like, what is going on? Like, I'm missing out. It was stuff like that happening all the time. And it's just like, I don't know, not just for the Will Smith thing, I don't want to miss, but just in general, like news right. that you from your family, or if something's going on, you wake up and like, oh my God, like it was just a lot to deal with. So yeah, I love being back here and being in the moment.
Yeah, I thought the Will Smith thing was I you know, I thought it was fake at first. Then they were like, no, it's not fake. He really hit him. I'm like, are we sure it's not fake? Because it was like, nah, he hit him.
Crazy on, like, I couldn't believe he did that.
Did you see it on, you saw it live on TV?
I didn't see it on live, but because I was traveling, coming back from Nashville, then my flight kept getting delayed. So I was at the airport from like 4 to 8 before I decided to just reschedule it. So I was missing that part. But when I seen the video, I was like, y'all, my jaw dropped. I couldn't believe they was on national television acting like this.
Right.
But then it's also like, that's your wife. You know what she goes through on a daily basis. And you got a man right in front of you making jokes about her.
Yeah, they have been through a lot publicly too. Like when found out what August Alsina and all that stuff. And then, you know, they it's been a lot between Will and Jada publicly. So, you know, bro is like, we have no more space for this. Like, you know, like I'm gonna do this. So it's a like warning to everybody who dare think they're gonna test us again. This is it. This is the kicker. So if you dare try to have my name or my wife name out your mouth, just know it's a possibility you might.
It was definitely a warning for everybody.
I felt like that smack wasn't even for Chris. It was for like everybody else. And he's just the one that got it. And I feel so bad because, like, man, not two black men slapping each other on TV.
Hey, he ain't fall, though. I was like, bro,
He kept going.
He's a professional because he was like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it, y'all.
So what's up with the Babs? I see you got on the gear.
Yeah.
And you go to the games and, you know, you're actively posting their wins on social media. So what's up with that?
So I mentioned earlier how I want to be more involved with just like my branding. Mm-hmm. And the Wings were involved with the Mavs, but not on the level that I feel like it should have been. So I talked to one of our directors at the Wings, and I said, I want to start an internship with the Mavericks. I have no idea if they have this position even available, but this is what we're going to do. She contacted the GM, Nico Harrison, who worked at Nike for years and closely with Kobe for like the longest. So honestly, you know their impact on the women's basketball, like how much Kobe wanted to just help not only women, but just like female athletes and just, you know, put them in the position to be successful. So when Courtney contacted Nico, Nico was like immediately. And I started it in September, and y'all, they got me like a whole office space and everything. It was crazy. I started it in September. I met with the CEO, Cent Marshall. She's a Black woman. I feel like she's like a mom to me. That's how like dope she is. Met with them, and I started like maybe a week later, and I told them what I was interested in. So the internship is, they said, Izzy, whatever you want to do, tell us, and we're going to put you in that department, and you're going to work with those people, and we'll make you a schedule. So at first, the schedule was 2 days in the office, 1 day with the basketball side, and that following week, it would switch. So 2 days with the basketball guys or whatever, and then 1 day in the office. And I was doing that for a while, which I really liked, but I started to tell Nico, I was like, I'm in the basketball side, but I still play. Like, I know what kind of goes into it. I want to learn about the business side. So it definitely shifted more towards the office side after a while. And then I work in player relations, and I do a few things with social media because I also enjoy that. So basically what I do is I do events, and like I go to camps for girls, for little kids. I do stuff with the other players if they have to go to events. I work at the game. So if I have to talk to like a sponsor or whatever, we go like to the box seats and just talk to them, and like we appreciate them. Work with the alumni that are still here in Dallas, which are so many players. I had no idea they're still living here. And I basically get out into the community, but I get to do it with the Mavericks. And going to the games, I made it a point to introduce myself and talk to everybody there. The amount of connections I've made just by doing that has been, it's changed a lot of things for me. It's almost solidified me being in Dallas even longer, just because of the amount of people I've been able to work with. So the internship is going to be ended soon because we start a season pretty soon, right? But I talked to Sam, she was like, this is something that we're going to do every year. Honestly, and we kind of had to make the position quick for you because we know this is what you want to do, but going into the next year, we'll have more events set up for you. You can work closely. I got to talk to a woman that is over the entire marketing for Dallas last week for the jerseys, the court design, things she's helping other players get with shoe deal. Like it's crazy. Yeah, and being able to work with her closely, I think is going to be cool because I also like fashion. So honestly, whatever I was interested in, Dallas put me in a position to like learn more and just kind of understand. And I'm happy I've been able to do that with the Mavs.
So would you do this post-basketball?
Post-basketball, I would want a more solidified position. And I only say that I'm not doing that right now because I'm still kind of figuring out what that would look like, you know, and how I would be able to kind of fit into that department. Because I feel like a lot of the things that I have said that I wanted to do, it's been about four departments. I've been good at all of them, and that's not a position. So it's like, I got to figure it out, you know, and I can only do that with like just working with them more, honestly. But I would definitely love to work with the Mavericks if that ever comes, you know, in the future.
Transitioning from overseas and trying to find your way to balance, you know, a dual career, the league, and then finding what you're going to do outside of it. You're doing the internship with the Mavs, but talk just a little bit quickly around branding and what you've learned of how that's going to kind of shift the game for women. Like, how important is it, the storytelling, the branding side? Like, how much should women be paying attention to the brand? Is it something that kind of trumps your skill on the court? You know, because I know for some people, some people have bigger brand than the game. Some people have both. You know, you got both. You can really hoop and you really got a brand. But how important you think that is, just you know, for people coming up in this NIL era, how much right. attention should they pay attention to the brand and also not lose touch with the main thing, which is actually being able to hoop.
Exactly. That part. You know what's so crazy and it's unfair? Yes, you have to be able to hoop, but when I tell you the amount of opportunities that you have because of a social media presence is crazy. Like, brands want to see numbers. And I'll give you an example. Kalia Copper, the MVP of the WNBA finals. And the fact that she wasn't able to finalize a deal with, it was KFC at the time, that they were heavily like promoting her and putting her in. So she went overseas, and I'm pretty sure had she had some stuff lined up before she went at the MVP, she wouldn't have gone. But again, she has to go overseas because she has a life, she has bills to pay, and it just takes you out of the market for months at a time. Now, if you do that for over, I would say maybe an average career, WNBA or overseas, maybe 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, you're taking yourself out of like a prime time to do social media, and you're just, your name is just getting lost, you know? And I feel like I wish I would have had the NIL starting at Tennessee, because it was already a big platform. But if I was able to capitalize on it, I could only imagine like what my brand would be like. Even I would say this to Candace, she was in school. Social media wasn't like really popping like that. But if she would have been in school like the same time as Skylar, like look at the difference. I feel like now Candace is getting those brand deals and being on the commercials and stuff. But she should have been doing that. And you can just see like the growth that it's helped for just athletes at a younger age. And that's something that I tell my nieces about all the time. I tell them, you know, you don't have to be on social media all day, but you do need to promote yourself, especially if this is something that you want to do, because brands will work with you. If you put yourself out there and you're able to create the content. And that's, again, another reason why I didn't go overseas, because I was missing out on so many opportunities. And when they would ask my agent, well, can she be here and yada, yada? No, she won't be back until April. We're like, all right, next. Like, yeah, we're not waiting for her to be back. And it was hurtful, but I had to make a choice. You know, I wasn't going to be able to do both. And I just hate that, because that's so many women's stories that they cannot be here in the States because they have to go overseas. The money's, it can be good, but I don't know, the opportunity for you to shine most of the time is going to be in the States where you're from. So honestly, for me, I just took advantage of social media. I really focused on like brands I want to work with. And I got some good news coming out soon about a shoe deal that I signed.
Nice.
Congrats. Okay. Yes. I don't know when it's going to be released yet. But again, I know that happened because I stayed. I don't know how to explain it. I stayed and I worked and I promoted myself. I just connected with brands that I want to work with. So I think it's important. I think it not only grows the women's game, but your own personal thing too. You don't have to like kill yourself trying to do both seasons, at least for, you know, how I feel.
Right.
But it's important.
And so so to be clear, it's not just that you good and people just gonna come knocking. There is some work to be done. Like, you do have to put yourself out there. You're not just going, there isn't no fairy tale where I'm good and they gonna come to me. You do have to put some work in.
You have to. But also, like you said too, you got to remember who you are, and like, you got to be a hooper. Like, you got to be able to show them why they want to represent you. Mm-hmm. And again, I feel like for a while, I've just been checking off boxes on why I should be represented in a certain light. And it's finally that time, but it took a lot of, it's not easy. It took a lot of work.
Gotcha. I mean, that's what's up. I mean, I definitely see it. Again, social media is growing. It's a beautiful thing. AU athletes, you know, I feel like the old head, you know, old people that back in the day, like, well, in my day, we didn't have this. If I would have had that, I'm like, man, I'm that old person now. Like,
oh, wow.
Coming out of college, what, you know, so good. Progress, evolution is always beautiful. So it's a lot of opportunities for women. So that's the good thing.